It's more than a linear path. It's a prism of endless possibility.
Ladies and gents, oh my gosh, it's Watches the Plus, and we've missed a week. Yes, we know it's not our fault. Well, it's actually entirely our fault. I'll blame mostly myself, but here we are. Sam, the best American beer I know about, Sam Adams, and me, Moe's, here we are.
Hey, sometimes, you know what, you drop the ball. So 50-50, both our fault. We both had issues at different times, so mm-hmm. We're going to talk about, you know, episode 5 and 6, which I think is fine anyways. I think that episode 5 was a very much a ramp up to that,
right?
Finale.
I mean, look, so, it was very much a build, so we'll add a little bit of extra schmutz to this episode, and everybody will be, you know, we'll break even.
Next time we decide to be too hungover to record, we'll make sure to do it on a week that there's not a show to talk about, because that was a bad move by us.
it didn't work out well. It didn't work out well. We do have a little bit of follow up. Our boy from Puerto Rico, Moss, did confirm to us that Tignataro is not only the character that I thought Cristalia was, but you have a little bit of extra insight that it was a complete redigitization.
Yeah, listening to How Did This Get Made with Paul Scheer and Jason Mantzoukas, the episode where they break down the Fast 9 trailer, they got into how they're friends with Tignataro and how she was really only on set for maybe a day with the rest of the actors and actresses, but they totally digitally replaced her or put her in over Cristalia. And they said it looks pretty seamless. Like, it looks like she's in that movie. And so I think that's where digital stuff is really going to come in, you know, handy nowadays, where you can put actors and scenes together. And, you know, I think this is the good part of CGI. Maybe not necessarily,
yeah,
you know, you know, it's always where every character is CGI, but where you can, like, you can do stuff to where all of a sudden people don't have to be on set with each other for half a year. You know, they can do their scenes and get in and out. And that's, you know, maybe you can have people be in more things now. I think it's kind of neat, even though the circumstances of this are weird.
Yeah, they're not the most fun part about the whole situation. But, mm-hmm. you know, I, again, I'm not the biggest Star Trek fan. In fact, I would really not consider myself a fan much at all. I haven't seen her really act. I mean, she's kind of a comedian actress. I don't know. We'll see. Well, I'm very curious about the movie regardless. I'll watch it.
She's now, a very dry, smart-assy kind of person. Sure. So I think she'll fit into something like this perfectly. You know, she'll have some good lines, I'm sure.
Yeah. Speaking of shitty movies, Sam, I heard you took the plunge with that Mortal Kombat trash, because I just can't do it.
You know, and the funny thing was, I'm so itching to see movies in the theater. I was debating going to the theater today to see it.
Golly,
so the reviews were just so bad. And I could tell I was hoping it would be the end of the video game curse. I knew it really wasn't going to be, but you know, it's a dumb video game movie. It doesn't make a ton of sense. You know, there's a tournament, but we're going to cheat.
I heard there's not even a tournament in it.
Yeah, the guy that made it said that he envisioned this as like a trilogy, where it'd be like pre-tournament, tournament, post-tournament is the way they put it. But, you know, it gets to a point where everybody's fighting one-on-one, and so it's kind of the same thing anyways. And people are saying fatality and flawless victory.
Oh, gosh.
And you know, they kind of shoehorn in all the different powers and stuff. And some of them look, you know, when I found out it was only a $55 million movie, it looks good. Like, it doesn't look cheesy. The dialogue sure is, and some of the acting sure is. But I mean, that's what's going to happen when you have no actors in this. You know, if they'd had a few name actors, it might have.
Like, they have stuntmen that are basically the role of the actor.
Yeah, and it has like MacGruber level dialogue where it's like, you know, that's why I say them. Well, that's why I listen. You know, that kind of back and forth. Where I kind of joked that I was like, "Ooh, they didn't. They liked the rough draft on this movie. They just went ahead and
everybody
shot the
speaks
rough
their
draft.
Motivations."
Yeah, where I mean, it just where it's like, you know, go to your family. You know, just nobody's really like nobody's really acting their ass off in this movie. So, but I mean, at the same time, you get to see Goro, you get to see Sub-Zero. For some reason, Scorpion, he only says, get over here in English. Everything else is in Japanese. Although I love the, I love the actor that plays Scorpion. He's in, he plays the head of the Yakuza in Endgame and is in, the second season of Westworld. He's such a great actor. Like, he's one of those actors. I'm just like, show me more of him. He's in the first 7 minutes, and then it's like, and he comes in at the end. It's like, oh, damn it. You know, I would have liked more of this guy. And so, yeah, the main character is a new character, which I kind of was like, you know, you got a bunch of different goofy characters. See, like, why are we making up? Like, I feel, again, making up characters, it's like, that feels like a very 90s studio exec thing. Of making movies.
Like Mortal Kombat in general, like I'm 46. So I was a part of when it first came out. I was of the age that it was awesome. Like this was an unbelievable game. Was I any good at it? No, but it was fun to just dump quarters into it. Yes, there was a time where you'd put quarters into a machine. Like it was just one quarter. Wait a minute. Actually, Mortal Kombat was 50 cents, if I remember correctly, which was a big deal. Because it was just,
but
like,
it was one of those things where if you kept winning, you got to stay on. Too.
That's right.
So,
but like I never got caught into this whole the historical and the storyline of it. It was just like, okay, great, Mortal Kombat 2 came out. But at that point, I think I had peaked that age where it was like, and then like a movie about it, I was like, oh, this is gonna be awful. And of course it was, but for kids of that ilk. At that time, it was probably awesome, and I could see where people would kind of have this be captured into it in some capacity. It's just not my cup of tea.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's kind of playing off that nostalgia. I was surprised they didn't have a big techno version of the song like they did in the first one.
But, oh, what a shame.
But, you know, like I said, they only made it for $55 million. I think it's already made its money back this weekend, and they're obviously hoping to add subscribers to HBO Max through it. So yep. I think that it's one of those things where, you know, hopefully this brings back, I was kind of just decrying this. I've heard people been saying this for years, but I just kind of noticed it recently is the lacking of like middle movies. Like we have tons of blockbusters now and we have indie movies and we have cheap comedies, but just that $30 to $40 million movie with a couple of stars and just a story, it just doesn't seem to be there anymore.
They need to get on that horse. I think
maybe something like this is the right idea. Like, yeah. And something also like, you know, Deadpool kind of did it too. Is like, here, give us these characters, let us get gory and let us make something. And we'll make you money. It might not be $1 billion, but every movie you can't have a $1 billion movie every 2 weeks. It's not going to work. There's not enough people to go see movies. It's not going to work that way for a long time. So maybe that's one thing that comes out of this pandemic is that these kind of middle movies that aren't, well, we're banking our entire summer on this movie working kind of thing. And we put out more just, hey, this was all right. And it wasn't like shockingly bad. Like I said, the action is good. You know, you mostly get to see them do their cool little powers or finishers and stuff like that. Sonya Blade is kind of a bad actress on it, but you know, I'm not an act. She's better than I could do. I'm not trying to like throw shade, but you know, yeah, sometimes they aren't given a lot to say either. It's like, yeah. Just like I can only give
a certain amount of leniency because when you're putting something out at that level, you kind of need to have everything at that level. You can't just roll dice like thinking like, oh, this is just going to bust blocks and really bring in the money. I think it's going to bring in some money. Mm-hmm. I'm glad they made their money back at the minimum.
Yeah. And it's one of those things too. It's like, look at the source material. Like we talk about Marvel or DC, like you have all this material. This is a video game with like, hey, they have the tournament to save the world and these guys all fight each other. And it's not like there was these big character backgrounds when they like released those games. No, it's just a guy with four arms that looked like a monster that was punching people. Like it wasn't, I don't think that they have as much to
it's not high
with.
Art. And, we're not talking high art. We know what it is.
Yeah. So they had some fun with it. You know, you got to see a lot of the main people. They're they teased some other characters that weren't in it. We'll see if they make another one. I hope they do. I think it was good enough that it was entertaining, but also, since we watched this stuff with a little bit of a critical eye, there was some dialogue in there that I was just like, ugh, guys, God, come on.
Now, so let me ask you this. Could you take something like this? Because I'm going to extrapolate down to Falcon Winter Soldier. Because essentially, between Wanda and the things that have been released now, Disney Plus, have been very much, we kind of said this, we're like, they're very much extended movies that have been chopped up. Mm-hmm. Now, would a Mortal Kombat work as more of a chopped up situation rather than doing 2 hours straight up?
I don't know. It was pretty thin plot wise.
Maybe they could bolster it up that way.
Yeah.
It could get more interesting.
Yeah, I mean, unless maybe you make each episode like the two characters that are fighting type of thing, that could be interesting. But
it'd be a tournament that way.
Yeah, and then you're going to get to the finale is the big finish or something like that, I guess.
Could be interesting. See? I'm telling you.
But at the same time, it's just that their rules don't even make sense in it. You have to be born with this dragon tattoo on your shoulder, and then you can fight in the combat. Unless you kill somebody that has it, then you get theirs. So it's like, if one side keeps winning, shouldn't they have all of the tattoos?
Yeah.
So it's just kind of stuff like that where it's like, well, what's going on here?
You don't see that it's not going to be nominated for the Oscars next year?
No,
Oscars night tonight.
No, they're not. Yeah, the seven movies that got released last year. So I wasn't paying too close attention to it. But
speaking of Oscars and Oscar winners, I was thinking of our boy Russell Crowe. I can't remember if he's won an Oscar or not. I want to say he has. But he just basically did the cardinal sin of blowing up the MCU phase and letting everybody that he's going to be playing. What was it again?
Zeus
over Odin. So I guess there is one higher than even the Odin father.
Mm-hmm. And Russell Crowe did win for best actor for Gladiator.
See? Okay, good. I'm glad he did, because that movie was fantastic.
Yeah, no, and I think that's one of those things where I was, I don't need every single thing to be a secret.
Movies.
I'm okay with a little publicity. He's Zeus. Cool. Obviously, it's Russell Crowe. He's not going to be in 10 of these. I think that maybe they hope for the best, but they probably plan for one and plant a few seeds unless they kill him. And we'll see. I'm glad that he's in it. I think that that Thor movie just sounds bonkers. I mean, you're going to have all the Guardians of the Galaxy. You're going to have Jane Foster Thor. You're going to have Valkyrie. You're going to have, it's who knows who else is going to show up in this thing. So I'm excited.
Yeah. I mean, and Taika's doing it again. And again, when I watched Ragnarok, I didn't like it the first time. I thought it was almost too campy. I was like, I loved the art direction. Like, I thought it was great. Like, it looked like Kirby Ditka type artwork. And mm-hmm. I was like, this is very interesting. It gave a whole new kind of like visual of it. And I was like, that's neat. And I have grown to like it a lot more. I've watched it multiple times.
Oh, I'm all on board with it. I thought it was hilarious the first time. I think that was always my favorite Thor stuff, was the kind of fish out of water, him acting very noble and mighty and then getting kind of knocked down a peg or two. And
yeah.
I think they always did that very well in the Avengers. And in this one, they just kind of leaned in. I think, and I hate to say this, but I think that maybe they saw how funny Chris Hemsworth was in Ghostbusters. And they're like, oh, this guy's hilarious. Like, let's let him be funny, and let's let me Loki be a punching bag. And I thought that they struck the humor just right with also having stakes in it. I mean, this is one of the movies I point to when people say that all these are the same. And I go, well, in the last one, his dad died, and then he had to kill his sister by destroying his home planet and making his whole planet refugees. So if that's the classic save the day hero story, that's news to me.
Yeah. I totally agree. Yeah. I mean, again, I don't know what to expect with it, but you know, coming off Taika, I'm on board. So
I love Taika's movies. I mean, I don't know if you've seen,
Is it the vampire stuff?
Well, I love the show. I haven't seen the movie, but the show is great.
I've like, heard great things.
Run, Don't Walk. I mean, it's one of those ones, it might take you an episode or two to get in it because it's the mockumentary and it's these weird vampires. But once you see them like going to city council, making requests and stuff like that, it's it's just hilarious. But no, his World War II movie about the Germans with Scarlett Johansson is, Jojo Rabbit.
Oh, okay. I haven't seen that. I meant to.
I love that movie, although I have to admit, like, when it ended, I was like, I had to wait for everybody else to leave so that I could like wipe the tears from my face, because it's like, wow. It's a sad movie, but it's also very funny because he plays a like little boy's imaginary friend that's Hitler in the movie, and he's really funny.
Interesting. Okay, I see. I thought he was actually playing Hitler. You know, this is all based around, you know, the trailers and things, that clips that I had seen.
Yeah, I mean, he is, but it's a little boy's imaginary friend that is Hitler.
Ah, gotcha. Okay, spoiler for a movie that's been out for a couple of years now.
Yeah. I mean, it's not something that you find that out in the first 5 minutes. It's not like you see him like at a meeting of the generals or anything like that. Yeah.
So let's get to the meat of Falcon and Winter Soldier. We're going to kind of go through five and six a bit now. This does parallel to what we were talking about with, you know, this kind of pandemic production. And I firmly believe that we are looking at, especially with Wanda, and I wouldn't say especially with, but with Falcon, because that was supposed to come out before Wanda. It seems as though there may have been some issues. I had heard from, you know, just on the grapevine of the internet, that Julia Dreyfus, actually, our first like seeing her was actually supposed to be in Black Widow. Obviously, we have not seen Black Widow yet. So they have added storyline to bring her into this a little bit more. I'm still a little confused about who and what she is. I know from the comics she was like Nick Fury's girl, but she was also a member of Hydra. It's a little bit mysterious and a little bit, we don't know exactly who she is. Though I'll tell you, what a weird shift in dialogue and cadence with having her in this one, especially in episode 5. I mean, there was a lot of things going on. I mean, talk about montages of scenes. There was a lot to kind of, it felt like more of like, we should kind of just be getting into the mindset of what's about to happen. Like you said earlier, it's that build up to the final confrontation. And unfortunately, I wish that they had gotten some of the Netflix people from the MCU and brought them into the Disney shows, because I think that they're missing something. And it's like, almost like they don't understand what episodes should be or how to structure them. There's just, and it could be pandemic things. There's a pacing thing that I can't put my finger on exactly, but something is amiss in these final two episodes. I get it. I understand where they were going, but it feels like tonally they're like whole cloth scenes that got placed in, but that don't necessarily connect. And I think, like, what's our friend Kara from the Flag Smashers and Carter? I think they got played second fiddle, and I don't think they should have been. But again, we had the two villain scenario, and then you and I both, and this is the fault of WandaVision as well, we keep thinking that there's going to be some other big bad, somebody we haven't seen, and it was all there right in front of us. I mean, they did. I mean, we knew it was Sharon. I mean, I think we pretty much knew it was Sharon, but like, there was still that hope in me that, well, what if it isn't? But you can't bring a new character in at the last episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought if it was going to be somebody different, it would have been kind of a last second reveal. I thought that maybe it could have been Julia Louis-Dreyfus's Madame Hydra, that she was the power broker, which would have made sense too. But I think that also there's just a lot going on. I mean, Sharon could be a Skrull. I think that right now they're all just about kind of expanding things and planting some seeds. Obviously there was a lot done. And I just going back to your kind of pacing issues, I feel like that's interesting because Netflix faced similar pacing issues.
Oh.
And I think this is a very uniquely streaming thing, because I think in classic TV where they're 13, 26 episodes a year, or even when it was 10 or something like that, I think that say what you will about these kind of big studios that have done this stuff for years and years, where they can kind of kill some of the creativity, they also know about structure and how to format stuff. And so when you're kind of loosey-goosey with, we can have the episodes be as long as we want, we can have the episode count be as long as we want, and we can do whatever we want, sometimes that works and sometimes it doesn't. As you were talking, I was thinking about how, I said the same thing with WandaVision, that it almost would have made sense in if you watched the first three together and then some more as it went on. This one, thinking about it, I almost think it would have been a good three-parter. Watch the first two episodes together, and then you watch the Zemo episodes together, and then you watch the last two together. And it flows a little bit better. I think that it relies less on that kind of cliffhangery feeling of, okay, he just killed a guy with a shield, what's going to happen next? And we have to wait a week. And then okay, Sam opens the case, what's going to happen next? I mean, we all knew he was going to be in that suit. Like, it would have been perfectly
there's a little
fine
bit of addition. fart smelling. Like, it's almost like, oh, wow. It's all of us are like hanging on. And it's like, but wait a minute. It doesn't have to be this way. I mean, like, television has done really well for the past, 60 years, and they have figured out how to do episodics really well. And there is a way to do it where it doesn't have to be, again, don't get me wrong, I appreciate the cinematic qualities, but you've got to put some sort of constraints against yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I said, I think that if this would have been 3 1-hour episodes, it might have been better.
Yeah.
I think my main gripe about the whole thing is that I would have liked I think you got a little bit of clarification when Sam gives his big speeches, but just what are the Flag Smashers fighting for?
I still don't know, Sam. Yeah, understand what that whole Congress and the world government. Mm-hmm. And the other part is, this was really, it was disingenuous on this level. In Homecoming, it was very much, it was a problem when people arrived back from the blip, but it wasn't earth shattering. Now we find out on a global scale, it was, well, what do we do with these people that have been gone for 5 years?
Yeah. So I think if they'd have just spent a little time explaining, here's what they're, I think it could have been as much
as episode one for that.
Yeah. Maybe it's that all the people that moved into their neighbor's apartment all of a sudden had to move out, and now they're a refugee because their apartment was taken or something along those lines.
So now,
just explain
now, so
that a little bit more. And I think because they mentioned that a little bit about,
are you under the, okay. So let me get this straight, because what you just said is, all right, so I blip away for 5 years. You move into my place, right?
Yeah.
I come back and you have to move out, or do I have to move out? Because,
well, see, and that's where I think the confusion is.
Exactly.
Because they do mention something about, like, what are you supposed to tell this person that their home's not theirs anymore or something? And it's like, okay, cool. Explain. Like, how that wasn't a little bit of an issue of, like, let's explain these people's motivation. Because I think I could have got behind them. Like, I understand why Sam was like, I'm not your enemy, I don't want to fight you.
Yeah.
And, I love, that's the thing, as much as we're kind of coming off bitchy about this, I overall, I'm a thumbs up on this whole show.
I enjoyed it.
I got emotional seeing him flying around in the Stars and Stripes, just because I'm like, what, badass, looks just like when they debuted him as Captain America in the comics. Yeah. Like,
it was really cool. I didn't like the ear holes. That's just me. And I know it represents from the comics really well. I know Cap had it, but eventually got rid of them. But it was one of those weird little things. I could tell, like, don't move your head too much, or it's going to like pucker, or it's going to gap around the edge. I liked when he blocked things and he used the shield and the wings at the same time, or he used his wings to like hold himself while he was fighting. You know, there are way cool things that like, I think the Sam character, and I think Anthony Mackie is tremendously a great talent. Mm-hmm. So
I mean, his speech at the end is great. And I think that's where he does more to kind of show you why people are mad at this GRC than the plot does itself. And like his speech is great because it's amazing how just resonant this whole episode, that whole last episode is with what we've gone through as a country this last 6 months.
Well, I mean, and I don't think that's coincidence. I think that part may have been an add-on.
I mean, maybe, but I don't know. I mean, I think it was kind of late in the game to be adding scenes from like what? When did this happen? When did that happen? Like January when they stormed the Capitol or something like that?
Yeah, so, but I mean, we're talking, this would have been 2019, but we still had, you know, I don't know. I don't know, but it's...
You know, I've been very, you know, this just the ability to snap a finger and get businesses 3 months of payroll and give us checks for discerning amounts of money has kind of boggled my mind, that I was like, wow, that, you know, politicians have a lot more power than they, you know, they kind of act like, oh, we can't do anything. And so here he is yelling at these guys going, you could feed a million people with an email.
Yeah.
You could do that. And I think that was just kind of great messaging for what we've been going through. It's just like, hey, look at you guys can do so much more instead of this. Let's move an inch one way or the other just so we don't lose any ground.
I have heard,
get something done.
I have heard that there were some plot points that involved a virus and that was removed.
I watched that video you sent me to prepare for today, that Nando V Movies, which is, if you guys have never watched his YouTube channel, it's very interesting. He does a good breakdown of things. And I remember hearing something about that same rumor before the pandemic that there was going to be something. And I heard those exact same things that he was talking about, and they were stealing vaccines and people were sick. So I do think that there probably was something dropped there, which again, how precog of this show to be like, yeah, there's going to be a pandemic and then people are going to charge into this to try and stop a vote. And it's like, wow.
Let me tell you, there's a podcast called War Mode, and where that would be this, there is no such thing as coincidences, but I'm not even going to go down that path right now. But for those of you listening, you can go check it out yourself. And if you're in that kind of mindset, though, I did really, you know, it's funny. I was watching something with Matthew McConaughey today, and it was about acting. And it was like a 2-minute video, but he was talking about, well, how do I learn lines, things of that nature. But he said, it's not about the lines. It's about, you know, just understanding what exactly you are trying to get across, and what happens if, say, just a look or a few lines were to describe everything that was basically written on page. Well, which one's better? Well, the look is, because it has way more to it. And that's where I think sometimes this show went a little off book a little bit, where I think about Winter Soldier, and I think about some of the looks that Sebastian Stan can do and just acting without saying. And he was allowed to do that in certain cases, but they wouldn't allow Mackie to do the same. Everyone had to, in a sense, they had to speak their motivations a little bit, not completely. And again, I'm not crapping on it overtly. I'm just saying how you can make something that's, you know, in my mind, like a B+, and go ahead and raise it up to an A.
Well, and I don't think it was necessarily a bad thing that Mackie kind of spoke some of his motivation in this episode, because a lot of this show has been him kind of torturedly not being able to answer these questions from everybody.
And that responsibility on him.
Yeah. And I just thought there was so much, that's why I want to start getting into blowing it after, you know, complaining about the stuff that,
yeah, go ahead.
That we didn't like.
Why as well?
I mean, just the stuff that they did so well is like, you know, you're not a bad person to admit, hey, me and Steve didn't realize that a black man taking up the thing, like it's okay to not have everybody's perspective in your mind at all times, like when you make a decision.
It's not easy to do.
It's okay to make a mistake. It's okay to say, hey, you know, I'm sorry I gave you such a hard time about giving up the shield. I didn't realize what you were going through. And you know, it's, you know, just because somebody maybe has a knee-jerk reaction or says something that you don't like doesn't mean that they're a terrible person. It means that, hey, maybe they weren't looking at it from your perspective.
And look,
they just can't walk a day in your shoes. So they don't know.
And Bucky is just as much a man out of time as Steve is, but and even more so in that, you know, he was completely brainwashed and out of control.
Yeah, like even when he was not brainwashed anymore, it's not like he had a buddy to like watch, to say, hey, let's get Netflix on and let's watch all the Friends together. You know, Steve had that. He had Avengers and Sam and Black Widow and Friends that he could lean on to get used to the new times, whereas Bucky just was sleeping on the floor.
Right.
He was papers on the windows.
Exactly. You know? Well, and one thing, let me just ask you this. Here's my perspective first. One is I know that it's TV. And I know we need to wrap everything up in a cute little bow. And I don't mean that in a trite way. I just mean it like everything needs to be kind of cauterized off. I don't buy that Isaiah Bradley, as angry as he was at the United States government, that him getting a special section at the Captain America wing changed his perspective. Now, I realized that it was also Sam's speech that did that, but that I would have found it more honest and true if maybe at least Isaiah was just like, you're doing okay. You're making the right steps. We don't trust everything that's happening right now, but you're doing the right thing, kid.
Yeah, I liked it. I got choked up when I saw that.
Yeah.
And I just think that part of, like I kind of said this in an earlier episode, is that part of what Steve always did was the right thing, even when he knew it was the harder thing to do and people would disagree with him. And I think that Sam's following those footsteps while U.S. agent, as I've referred to him, we haven't even talked about him yet. He was more kind of the side of the ugly American, the bully that comes along and tells you, well, I'm in charge and we're going to do it my way because I said so, because I'm Captain America. And Sam doesn't do it that way, and neither did Steve. And I think that's why he's kind of the perfect guy to take up the mantle. And you know, when he got the shield in Endgame, I got teared up because I knew that this was coming. And so this was kind of just a delight watching, you know, and getting to see the story of why it's not just easy to be like, I'm going to take this on. It is a difficult decision, and there are layers to it that I didn't think of before the show. So you know, kudos to them for that. I think it's great. And you know, it's funny, you know, we complain about,
if I did 30 years in prison, I'm not going to fold over that fast. That's all I'm saying.
Oh yeah. No, I agree. I think that I don't know that he folded over and forgave everybody. I think that he more kind of forgave Sam.
Okay.
Was like, okay, that, you know what? I'm not going to root against you. I'm going to root for you. Like, I wouldn't want my grandson to go do that, which, you know, spoilers, he may do that very same thing in the future too, but, you know, he's kind of taken the other perspective of, okay, I see things from your point of view and I'm happy for you. And I'm glad that you've got the shield instead of that annoying white boy that was yelling at everybody. And
so how about, Johnny Walker? He's now a hero.
Well, I don't know, because I sure don't think that Julia Louis-Dreyfus's character is a good guy. She definitely seems very shady. Yep. She seems very black opsy, where she's like, oh, the guys in the ties, they don't want it. They're just saving their own asses here. But we know that you did good, so we're gonna find a thing for you. Like, it very much seems like she's, oh, I'm the off the books person that moral gray areas are fine. We're just here to get the job done. You know what I mean? So I'm thinking that that's the thing that's funny, is that I think they've teased two future teams in these two shows. Really.
Okay.
We've met Wanda's kids, who are in the Young Avengers. We've met Isaiah Bradley's grandson, who is Patriot in the Young Avengers. We've met Torres, the
Falcon,
the who's the new Falcon, and he's got the wings hanging out with him right now, probably working on him as we speak. So they've really, you know, they've introduced a lot of people, and who knows, we may be getting the Dark Avengers or the Thunderbolts with U.S. Agent right at the helm. I wonder what kind of shield he's going to have, because that one that he made looked pretty shitty.
Yeah, it was that of tinfoil. It was just not very good, was it?
Yeah, and while I appreciated his kind of come back from the darkness moment where he did save that bus rather than try and kill somebody.
Yeah.
You know, I still think that he's got a dark side, and I think that we'll get to see more of him later on down the line. And I think he's a good actor, and I'm glad that he wasn't just killed for no reason here in this last episode.
He does some very interesting non-verbal tics that mm-hmm. I find really scary. You know,
no, I thought he was kind tilts. Of a bro actor, you know, and
but then with the head tilts and the ticks, it yeah. seems like, oh, you're not exactly right.
No, he won me over as an actor from his performance in this. Like he brought some stuff to the role that I don't know that was in the script, and that, you know, I don't know if that, but
how much they gave like, well, at least the Twitterverse, which is a, you know, a toxic shithole. You know, let's just be honest with it, but like, you know, just awful to him. And I thought, yeah, but you're not watching the whole thing. Like, you have to see the whole picture before you can start passing judgment, which I use that term very, very non-glibly. But I think, well, number one, he's part of Hollywood royalty, whether you like it or not. And he's got an interesting skill and look to him.
Yeah. And, you know, people like to complain about nepotism. Sometimes when your dad does something, you learn how to do it and you join the family business. I mean, that's not unheard of. I literally just was watching the Warrior game.
If Kurt Russell was my father, you bet your damn ass I'm going to use especially some of the looks that he has to my advantage. Of course.
Well, I mean, and I'm watching the Warrior game and Gary Payton Jr. is playing, and I'm following the NFL draft, and there's about three or four ex NFL players who I hope the Niners draft, or ex NFL players' sons who I would love for the sure. Niners to draft. So it's like that happened. You know, people take over the family farm. You know, I get it. You know, that people complain about nepotism, but you know, it's a reason they say it's all about who you know. Get out there, make connections. Figure out, you know, you'll have people help you down the line, but it's just everybody has a different leg up. And this guy, like I said, you brought up that he was in not Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
He was in 22 Jump Street.
Yeah, 22 Jump Street.
Which is fantastic, like, by the way. Just,
yeah, and I was like, oh, he's just this bro that kind of is like a dude or whatever. And so watching this, I was like, oh, no, he can act. He brings stuff to the yes. scene.
Absolutely.
I think that he could probably even do more with maybe a little more to go on. And there's going to be more. I mean,
I'd love to see him in big screen stuff. I mean, big screen MCU stuff. I think, got it.
Yeah, they've said that there's going to be a sequel to the show. There's going to be a Captain America 4 that's written by the showrunner, and that there's still a secret Chris Evans project out there, which I think everybody is kind of secretly hoping is Cap's wild ride to return the stones to everybody and his adventure or something along those lines. I think that would be cool, unless it's some sort of old man Cap kind of story.
I have a strong feeling, and it's not been brought up. I haven't seen it in any of the trades, but I'm very curious about it. That I have a feeling that Loki is, because Loki breaks the timeline and he's forced to actually fix it. I believe that somehow Loki is going to cross paths with Steve at some point.
You know, and I've heard some theories that he's going to cross paths with another Avengers team. I think there's a lot of opportunity for alternate reality stuff. I think that they're introducing this just at the right time, because as you can see tonight, the listeners at home don't know, I'm wearing an X-Men t-shirt, and
that's true.
A third of the X-Men roster are people from terrible timelines that came back to fix something in the past and just were like, hey, you guys got DVDs and power and air conditioning, I'm staying here, this is fine.
Yeah.
I'll fight some Sentinels if I can get a room in the corner with them. with a breeze. So, yeah, so I think that, especially because they've really been talking about Secret Wars, and I think that if you look at the newest version of Secret Wars, where Dr. Doom somehow came up with a new thing called Doom World and had everybody fighting each other, and there was multiple versions of every character. I mean, maybe that's where we're headed down the line. That's going to be the next great Avengers kind of cross-up thing, is a Secret Wars. And, you know, why not have a different cat? I mean, look, we're going to see two different Thors in the new Thor movie. We're going to see Guy Thor and Lady Thor. Yep. So, and who knows what Valkyrie's going to be doing, if she's going to have some sort of hammer. And
does it bother you? It bothers me slightly that a lot of what they're pulling from is comics that were, you know, from 80s, 90s, 2000s. And I haven't been invested in comics for a long time. Mm-hmm. And it makes me feel like, so are you telling me that all the really good stories were really 30 years ago?
Yeah, well, I think they do a lot of everything, because, like, think about Civil War was from the last 10, 20 years.
Okay.
Let's see, what else have they done? Winter Soldier's from the last 10, 15 years.
Okay. Okay. Well, and Daredevil, the whole black suit thing, that's after my time, but that's fairly new.
Yeah, I mean, Daredevil was, I felt like some of that was pulled right out of the Frank Miller comics, which I love. I mean, I think that they've done a good job of, especially when I didn't really know as much about these things when I kind of first started coming on those YouTube channels, and you realize, like, oh, this is pretty, like, Iron Man's origin is pretty true to his first comic book. And same with, like, Hulk and Captain America, where you go, like, oh, Peggy Carter was in the original Captain America books. I didn't realize that.
I love that show. Really love Peggy Carter.
Yeah, no, and that's one that I felt like, you talk about pacing, where I felt that could have been a great show that not on ABC. Like, I liked it, but I always felt like it was a little too networky.
Yeah, it could have been,
you know, like I said, could have been 6 or 8 episodes instead of
13. I felt like that show didn't get its due. Speaking of Sharon Carter, again, now just on a storyline level, I just feel like, wait a minute, of all the, you know, you were involved in Endgame, you were involved in this and whatnot. How would you have not gotten a pardon? And again, this is this.
But she wasn't in Endgame or Infinity War. The last time we'd seen her was in Civil War, when she had busted, gotten Cap and Falcon out of.
You're right.
And then got their shield and wings for him. So she has been on the run ever since then.
I don't know. I just don't buy into this whole power broker thing. It's like, I get it. I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to make this character more interesting and, like, ooh, we can relate to her on one level. We know her as this good person. Was she ever a good person then? I mean, she was Peggy Carter's daughter, for Pete's sake. Yeah, like, I'm assuming that she was.
Niece.
Okay. Yeah. You're right. Niece. Okay. So, okay. Maybe not daughter. All right. So maybe not.
But yeah, I totally know what you mean. Like, she was portrayed as one of the people that stuck behind one of the good shield people in Civil War. And
that could have been with Steve, which would have immediately given her kind of, like, you know, a blessing in a sense, is like, you are the good goods wife or girlfriend, whatever it might be. You know, it would have been awesome.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think that that's part of it. And then, you know, who knows, maybe, I don't know if she blipped or not. Maybe she wasn't. That's part of the reason that she's got all this power over there. And I mean, I thought it was kind of obvious that she was the power broker. I mean, you see, she's got, she's walking around on the cell phone and getting in limos, and people are driving around, and she's got drones and she's got snipers. The only thing I didn't quite understand is what she was doing hiring Batroc at the end.
Look, I'm going to tell you what, I'm still a big fan. I'm still a very big fan of having GSP as a villain, even though now I guess we don't have him.
I think it's au revoir.
Yeah. I think he might be DLA, but, I enjoyed having him come back.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, even just getting to those last couple fights, I mean, what is the big showdown that we go to for the final fight scene? Is Sam not fighting back? And so I think that that's, I thought that was a good choice, especially because I think it's fun watching Sam wield the shield and not be a super soldier. I think one of my biggest complaints about these action movies is everybody being like doing flipping jump kicks and being able to do everything, whereas like, no, he knows how to fly that suit really well. And now he's got a great shield that he can throw around. And at the end of the day, he's still going to get his butt kicked by a super soldier. And so he hides behind that shield maybe a little bit more than Cap had to, because, and I think that's great. You know, sometimes it shows you where here it is. Here's a guy using nonviolence to try and solve the situation and telling, you know, somebody like, hey, look, let's stop fighting because we're not enemies. We do have this common ground. And, I think that's, again, great messaging for the show. I think for what it was trying to be, it's a Captain America story. So it's obviously going to say a little something about America in it.
I don't like, speaking of, you know, Sam's big epics, you know,
oh, and Sharon Carter's a Skrull, guys. Don't worry about it. It's fine.
See, we'll find that, Sam. I won't allow this to happen because you can't put every like person who's not doing exactly what you want and make them a Skrull. I won't have it. You can't do it. Keep doing it.
Well, I don't know if you guys have ever read the Secret Invasion storyline.
Now, is that actually Secret Wars 1?
No. Okay. It was, I think it's a newer one from the last, again, kind of like you're talking about the last 20 years.
Okay.
And probably the last 10 even. And it's just, you know, they're half the heroes were turned out to be Skrulls. And some of them didn't even know it, I don't think. I don't know. It was confusing because it's a lot of splash pages. And it's those one of those crossover books where every character from everything's in it. And so it's a little confusing at times. But, you know, if they're going to that road, I mean, they're going to have to be some surprise Skrulls out there. And I think that, you know, that could be a way that you bring Tony Stark back, as it turned out that was a Skrull that was impersonating him there, but he still was like, I got to figure out how to save the world. And he figured out time travel and Tony's in a pod somewhere, but probably not going to be that. But I think, you know, Don Cheadle could be a Skrull. We've seen that Sam Jackson's being impersonated by one. So there's definitely going to be, it's not going to be that there's two people that are secret Skrulls trying to ruin the world. Like they're going to have some tentacles into our society. And so we'll see.
That sounds interesting. That sounds actually interesting. If this goes to a larger, let's call it phase 6, I don't know, phase 5, phase 6, where this all had led up to something bigger, which was that Skrulls have always been around. And then, of course, we're going to end up finding out.
Well, they've been around since the 90s. We know that. So, and here's the other thing, too, is that in the comics, we do have super Skrulls. And what is the power broker all about? Trying to create that super secret soldier serum. And now she's got government secrets that could get to the previous.
Oh, so you want John Krasinski. And so that we can have the super Skrull.
Yeah. So, yep. But I mean, that's what her aim is, because she's a Skrull and she's trying to get her people the same powers that these other, you know, not to steal metahumans, not to steal a DC term, but these superhumans have, is that they know that in order to, that even if they did take over the world and then announce, hey, we took it over, that Captain America and Bucky and a handful of these guys could come in and just kick their ass and save the day. So maybe that's why she's interested in these powers and funding the scientists and things of that nature.
I think we're doing,
or she's just a generic bad guy stroking her mustache and toward, you know, trying to be bad. But I have a feeling that Marvel plant seeds, they know how to leave some breadcrumbs. And you know, there's been post credit scenes that didn't pay off in the past, but I think that they are being very slowly, deliberately kind of planting little things here and there.
Look, they have to, really, because look, after Endgame, a lot of people checked out. It's like, well, how much more can I even take? Like, I gotta go another 10 years. Well, if it's
I think that's why they're establishing new characters now, is it's, they've told you the story. Like the next thing shouldn't be a Hulk story. Like I bet you if you gave them a truth serum, they'd tell you they wish that Spider-Man was coming out a year later than it is. Like I guarantee you they didn't want to do 3 other movies and then have another Spider-Man come out. They're probably like, God dang it, Sony, can you stop? Like Tom Holland's going to look like he's a teenager forever. We can do this as long as we want.
Right. Oh, but if he does hit the wheel hard of age, they're gonna have to recast again.
Well, you know what though? I think that I think that there's interesting stories to tell of either college age or I'm a college professor age Peter Parker. And they've been obviously not afraid to move that storyline across. I mean, they had him be figured out by Aunt May in the first movie. They've got him unmasked to the world in the second movie. So yeah. we'll see where it goes. I mean, obviously they're talking, and again, we're talking about multiverse stuff. I mean, the next few things, they're really talking about that being huge with all the multiverses. Right. You know, right. What's his face? Alfred Molina came out and spilling the beans. Here's another one that came out and talked about, yeah, it's the worst kept secret in Hollywood. I'm in it. Yeah. It's like, oh, okay. Well, so I guess the multiverse stuff is true, but not surprising considering how popular, the Spider-Verse.
Yeah. So how do you feel about Bucky? Let me go back one more. Like Bucky's storyline overall, I know, again, they wrapped up his storyline basically, and even Zemo's, which we'll get to. But Bucky, I felt like it was a good closure of his story. I didn't understand, again, this is one of those little things where it's like, I don't understand what that scene was supposed to recognize to me, that he was looking at the old man after he told him in that bar and kind of nodding like, oh, he's doing okay now. Like,
I took it because I was hoping he was meeting him there for lunch, that it was like, we've patched things up. I've got my closure. I'm accepting that he wasn't the one that really, like, it wasn't him that did it. It was his program and whatever. And that maybe him is going to sit there and have a drink with the waitress lady. Mm-hmm. And then he walked away. And I realized it's because it was what Sam said. And Sam had told him, you got to do the work and you got to do it for them, not for you. And once you start helping other people, then you can kind of sleep better. And so I think that was the show that, like, hey, I did break this friendship. And, this guy, maybe in a private conversation, he said, I appreciate you telling me this, but, you know, I can't have lunch with the person that killed my son every day.
Yeah, I mean, that's common.
So that he's just looking at him, seeing like, hey, look at he's in there having lunch, doing him. He's not sitting there burning that candle, staring at that picture right now. The waitress is having a laugh with him. I wish I was there with him, but I did the right thing and I gave him his closure and he can move on and live his life now. And he doesn't need me to push him to live his life. Like, so it's like he gave up that friendship, his fellow old man that he could be grouchy with, but did it for the right thing. And you see by the end, he's crossed out all the names on his list. And I thought that was great. It really just, it just opens up for Bucky to be anything going forward. He could be very enlightened. He could be the White Wolf. He could be, you know,
I think that was the missed opportunity. Mm-hmm. Is that they changed Sam's name from the Falcon and the Winter Soldier to Captain America and the Winter Soldier. I think it would have been interesting if they could have done Captain America and the White Wolf.
Yeah, that would be neat. Unless they would have changed. I think it would have been, that's the only reason I thought that they might have been like Captain America and Bucky and stuff. Because even though Bucky is kind of a silly kid nickname thing, it's like, hey, look, he's not the Winter Soldier anymore. He's back to being Bucky. And so that's where I think they could have done something. But yeah, I had a feeling that was going to be the name of the show by the end. And I'm sure that's going to be season. The fact that they're going to do a season two and a movie, it's like, it's kind of blowing my mind that it's like, oh man, they're going all kinds of places, which I love these two being together. I hope that maybe they figure out the format of the TV show a little bit better, so it can be a little bit more of that buddy cop. Like, cause I enjoyed anytime Bucky was being funny, whether he's yelling at, yelling at Captain America, telling him the, you know, keep fighting the Dora Milaje, or calling Sharon Carter kind of awful now, or just, and he had so many great lines in it. Even just flirting with Sam's sister, I thought for a second, when he goes, "Hey Sarah," I thought for a second he was going to say, "Oh Sarah, that's a beautiful name." You know, that was Cap's mother's name.
Interesting.
And well, hit on her a little bit.
They,
you know,
they didn't necessarily. So we all wanted the buddy cop show. We didn't get that. And
doses of it, but yeah, it wasn't the show.
It is seeds of it. It's mm-hmm. just the starting point. So we can develop their relationship. We have time now if they're going to do season two and a movie. Mm-hmm. Now, Captain America 4, are we talking, I mean, it's going to be an Anthony Mackie vehicle?
I believe so. So we shall. I mean, I don't. Not a lot of details have come out. Yeah. It's mostly kind of things that were popping up on comicbookmovie.com and stuff. But
I think it could be great. Like, you know, you don't have. We don't have to establish that their relationship is, you know, super tight yet, and I'm okay with that. In fact, if you show me more elements of them working together and building that bond, I'm for it. And I think I think this is the good first step to that.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think that, you know, while it's coming from the Hollywood Reporter that there's a fourth Cap movie and that's being written by the showrunner, Malcolm Spellman. So I feel like that's usually pretty, I don't think that they usually report stuff without some contracts being drawn up or anything. So I think that's what we're going to get next.
Yeah,
so, I think it's cool because I think that there's just so much. It's kind of like how in the comics, they might just do a 6 or 8 issue run of, you know, Captain America and the Winter Soldier or something like that. And it's nice that we can kind of get these and they can come back. They can come back in a movie. They can come back as in somebody else's movie or somebody else's show. And I think that, you know, while we're kind of waiting to see like, who are they going to show next? Who are they going to show next? It's like, they are expanding the universe. I mean, we could get a prequel story about Isaiah Bradley and his journey and the things he went through, even though I think that, you know, we've kind of been told what it was. I mean, I think that there's still a lot of stuff you could do with that, especially if there's, you know, somebody like that, you know, somebody like that, that did Watchmen wants to come in and tell that story. And you go, yeah, you can have 6 episodes. And I think that that's just, I think that maybe that's just the only thing that they need is they could probably use a little call from Favreau about how to do the episodic thing a little bit better. Cause I feel like Mando's pacing is much more television and they do 22 minute episodes versus 45 minute episodes. Like they jump around when it comes to the time format, but yet I feel like each one, you kind of have like a story that goes from A to B. And I think that's the only thing that Marvel's missing right now. I think these very much are movies that are longer than normal movie that have been cut into episodes and they work pretty well. But they're not quite, like I said,
they're,
I think if
very
you watch,
scared of bottle episodes.
Yeah. Like, I feel like if you watched like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 of Winter Soldier, it would be a better experience than the one in a week that we got. Cause I think that you kind of got that left wanting more every time. Whereas I think that those cliffhangers were a little bit better and just you got kind of a fuller arc of what's going on. You know, you got 2 episodes of Zemo and you got kind of all that stuff. And I think that, I'm thrilled with the show. Like I'm glad that there's going to be more of it. I'm glad that Anthony Mackie's the new Captain America. I'm thrilled for more Marvel. And, you know, it's, you know, I think that we're in good hands, but I think they're definitely stretching it out a little bit, trying to do shows and movies. And it's, we're not seeing the cracks, but it is difficult to keep all these things afloat with one, you know, like I said, just, we could have just used a little bit more detail into what was actually going on with some of this stuff. And I think that you're right that we can give a little pandemic pass to some of these sins,
sure,
but that we can't be doing that forever. We're eventually going to have, you know, we all figured out how to Zoom from work from home.
And they've got to take risks. I think they've got to do a few movies and TV shows that may not be what everybody necessarily wants to see. And that could be very interesting. That doesn't necessarily have to interconnect with every other thing in the MCU. We don't have to have every, like, and this is the problem. This is why fans get weirdly ravenous, because they assume things. And when they don't happen, they call foul, because in their minds, oh, this should connect to this because, you know, this is the way it was in the comics back in the day. You know, it's that kind of thing. It's like, it's shows like Legion. Like I go back to that show. That show is really interesting, but it is so far off the Marvel path, but it's good and it's good by itself. It doesn't have to be connected. And they don't have to use the Professor X from that one into somewhere else. It doesn't have to happen. It can just be self-contained, and everybody can be happy just there.
I know that's the thing that's funny is that the way they're going obviously is away from this idea. Now, I thought that they could do TV shows that were more connected than, say, like an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or any of those ever were. I always felt like those were a little strained, and even the Daredevil and the Netflix stuff, they would pick one little thing to kind of connect them all together, but they were always very tangentially connected.
Yeah.
And I feel like you could do something that's in between, something that doesn't necessarily have an impact on the overall storyline of the MCU, but also is totally connected and everything. And everybody take a drink. This is when Sam shoves an X-Men reference in. But I always thought that if you took the entire X-Men kind of mythology and put it in a single show, it could be the next Game of Thrones. Because think about it, you have these schools of mutants, and you have one in Westchester, and then you have the Hellions that are run by Emma Frost in Boston, and then you have the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants that are over here, and then you have Weapon X and then you have Excalibur in the UK. And so you have this kind of world spanning different locations, different problems. And, you know, you could look at it through the eyes of different characters. You could have, like, say, somebody that's a cannonball that he starts off with the Hellions and he comes to the New Mutants. And, you know, you could have a New Mutants show and an X-Men show and a different thing. And you could, like you said, you could do a spinoff where it's just like, we're just going to talk about Legion for four episodes. And I think that could be the next, like, we've got this giant cast that spans all over the place and is telling a couple different stories all at once, because it's like people are in New York are worried about this, but the people in the UK are worried about this, and the people in Boston are worried. And I think that could make for and who knows? And then there's also a group of mutants that are out in Australia hanging out with Gateway, teleporting back and forth to go save stuff. So I think that you could tell, and you could do a lot of that kind of Game of Thrones off screen stuff where something happens off screen and you find out about it and it's big news. And you could have that kind of be the soap opera of the whole mutant world taking place right there. And then when you want to have a movie, you have a big crossover thing or something like that.
So I love the idea. Again, what you just said is a huge risk. I mean, like Game of Thrones, you know, it was based on a book series that was well loved and, you know, had been very richly cultivated. You know, but, you know, in this world, you know, it's again, whether we like it or not, I mean, you've got to be able to make money at it. Mm-hmm. And I think the money is there. I think the fan base is there. But, you know, everybody has to be willing to accept that, hey, this might not be exactly what I wanted, but it's something different. And I should at least give it a try. Maybe it's not for you. But I think I love that idea of like, having an X-Men Game of Thrones type situation where you could have an entire episode based on something that's completely, you know, out in left field.
Well, I mean, you could have a whole episode of one person training in the Danger Room. You know, you could have, you could have a whole episode of like the teams away and Kitty Pryde's in charge of the mansion and there's something going on. You know, there's so much you could do with it. And I think maybe the one difference that Game of Thrones had is the thing that hooked me into Game of Thrones was kind of that Deadwood thing, is that like you felt like you were watching a real version of this thing. You know, Deadwood, I feel like, is the first time I watched any sort of Western where like everybody was dirty and stinky and you're like, oh, this is kind of what it must have actually been like, you know, like taking a bath was a big deal. And like Game of Thrones had that same thing where guys had, like, if you go watch any kind of thing with armor, everyone's got this shiny armor that looks all pristine and they're riding around on horses that are just clomping around on like a little bit of hay in the road that doesn't look, whereas like Game of Thrones, it's dirty. The walkways dirty and muddy and everything's gross. And it's so like, I feel like that's the thing, is that like with the fantasy realm, you'd always just kind of seen like the high fantasy kind of sparkly version of it. Whereas Game of Thrones was kind of the same thing that Star Wars was, like, here's this lived in world and what it really would be, almost kind of would really be like the kind of Star Wars is like, I think once you get in the space, it would be kind of like that, where you're flying on a hunk of junk and people are trying to fix stuff in the middle of the flight and not die. So I think that's the one thing is that Game of Thrones had for it, is that it was, here's this thing that everybody knows about but has never seen before. Whereas X-Men, we've seen them before, but I think if you did it in the right way, it could be really interesting. And I don't know, I I keep coming around. People keep trying to think about how are they going to introduce them, how they introduce them. I think you do it just like you did the Skrulls, just like you did Captain Marvel. They've been around all along. You find out some reasons to explain why nobody knows about them yet, and then they're going to come public. And yeah, that's kind of the gist of it.
You're just waiting on that X-Men. What happens when they don't?
Well, you know, we had some news about your other your favorite thing to bring up, the Netflix actors, the rumor mill coming around that they said that they're going to bring back a lot of them, but they're going to completely ignore all the Netflix shows and just bring some of the actors back.
Yeah, see, I think that's a gorgeous mistake. I think the story. I think they made missteps with Luke Cage. And I never saw Jessica Jones. I know you hate me for that. But, you know, Punisher and Daredevil, I would hope that they don't try to redo what they've done. I have a strong premonition that Punisher is going to be sanitized in some capacity and maybe neutered down a little bit.
Maybe a little bit. Man, Sharon Carter was blasting people in the face and they've been stabbing guys. Like, I feel like especially on Disney Plus, they can get away with a little bit more. So, yeah. And who knows, maybe it's one of those things where they leverage their Hulu, operations, and they go like, yeah, Punisher's on Hulu for the adults.
Yeah. I'm okay with that. And I think it, keeping Charlie Cox and Barenthal is absolutely vital. The Defenders was fine-ish. I mean, whatever. It basically got us to Daredevil season 3.
Dragon Bones.
No. I just
can't. No. That was definitely the anti-Avengers. Like, I was so excited for them to all get together, and you're just like, huh, so we're just going to keep punching ninjas until we get to the end, huh?
It's just, we're talking about, and I don't like to ever say this, but we're talking about another tier of heroes, the street level, as I like to have said it and said it many times. But that doesn't mean that they have to be substandard. You know, like Luke Cage started out really phenomenal and just they made the wrong choices of who to have as a villain. And it just broke down from there.
Yeah, no. I liked their second season villain. I thought he was really interesting, but it just was eventually going to get to a point where Luke had to punch him and win. And
right.
I was excited for a third season because they'd kind of made Luke the king of crime by the end of it.
And the idea of even going back to Isaiah Bradley, you bring in Luke Cage, that all these people had been experimented on in some capacity by some group, whether it be Roxxon or what have you. I mean, that's very interesting to me to learn more about these other, groups of villains, and having and learning more about how they work.
Mm-hmm. No, and I have to imagine that we're going to get a She-Hulk, which is going to have the Abomination in it, who was Super Soldier altered. You know, obviously something's going to happen to Jennifer Walters to turn her into the She-Hulk. I have a feeling that this whole super soldier serum thing is going to continue to be a plot line in the MCU. And we're going to see, you know, maybe we'll get a new Luke Cage origin, maybe not. But, you know, Weapon X has to be around the corner of the Weapons Plus program where they created a lot of these soldiers too. Alpha Flight, all these kind of things. So I think that
Alpha Flight would be awesome. I think they were super cool.
Yeah. So I think there's so many different ways this can go. I think that we're going to see more of it in Black Widow. Obviously they made their own, Captain Russia with David Harbour.
Yes.
And then who knows where we're going to get Taskmaster from. Maybe he is part of like a Weapons Plus program. And I always thought that Black Widow would be a fun way to introduce Omega Red if he was in it.
Now, I have heard Omega Red a couple times now, so I'm actually curious about that. I know that it's not Crimson Dynamo is essentially the Russian version of Iron Man. But that's not who David What's-His-Face is playing in Black Widow, though. He's not Crimson Dynamo. I forget. Trying to use my brain.
It's Red Guardian.
Red Guardian. Okay. But that he is a super soldier.
Yeah. And I think that he was supposed to be their Captain America. And so interesting that that's popping up again. So I, you know, also with super spies and super soldiers, like I just, and you know, we're going to get the Eternals. What's going to explain people getting some powers, and Shang-Chi's going to do some mystical stuff. So you know, that's what's another thing we didn't get to talk about. The Shang-Chi trailer came out while we were off last week. So, which I think that looks great. Mythical lions jumping into the air, 10 rings or rings around his arms instead of on his hands. Fine by me. I thought the action looked great. I thought Awkwafina looked funny. It's a thing I have no expectations for, so I'm just kind of ready to dive on in and see Marvel.
Yeah, I remember the whole like Legends of Kung Fu, Shang-Chi, and like the mystical martial arts. Like I remember seeing those comics in the stacks, like they were like from the 70s and 80s, and it was just never really like I in my mind I was like, okay, they basically built this comic kind of off of Bruce Lee's back, and so for me, I don't have any investment in it, and I come into it probably near the same as you, which is I don't have any expectations. Show it. Let's see it.
Yeah. Like I've never even seen Shang-Chi in like a group Avengers book that I've read before. So like, this is kind of, to me, this is like Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, ooh, I've heard of Groot and Rocket Raccoon I'm in, like, show me something cool. Just show me something new.
It's funny because I remember a comic that I had as a kid, and it was like Shang-Chi, Doctor Strange, and Ghost Rider. It was like three stories in one, but it was like involving kind of all three of them. Mm-hmm. And again, that's another, Ghost Rider is, you know, literally probably one of the visually coolest characters, just not done very, very well. Mm-hmm. Not an interesting story. Let's be honest with you, but he's super cool looking.
No, yeah. I'm just glad, I think that we've reached a point where hopefully we'll be open enough and we won't have a bunch of variants to where this stuff will actually come out this year. We'll get Shang-Chi. We'll get Black Widow. We'll get, just for our schedule, I mean, let's say we get MODOK at the end of the month or end of next month, and then we get Loki the month after that. So
I could use a little bit of comedy.
Yeah. I think MODOK will be a nice palate cleanser. Now, unfortunately, I think that's going to be one that they're just going to dump it on us, so we're not going to get to go week to week. But you know, I also don't feel the need to burn through 8 or 10 MODOKs in one sitting.
It could be captivating.
Well, you know, maybe that'll be one of those things we have to slow burn for the audience, especially although you have to do a binge this week because we don't have anything to talk about next week.
So we got to do Invincible.
We're gonna need you to catch up on Invincible because I just finished episode 7 this week and it's leading to a showdown.
I have heard that it really gets good.
And it's not only good as a like a cartoon. I feel like this could be made into a show or a movie very easily. I think it's got cool characters, and I, you know, again, it's kind of got that same thing with The Boys where it's like, oh, cool. What character are they going to do their take on next? And I think that's neat. You know, I've always kind of wondered, like, how do you make a new superhero if you're trying to make a comic book? And I like that some of these people are just like, I'm just going to draw the same ones that everyone knows, because how do you make somebody else having super speed not seem like a ripoff of the Flash? Yeah. And like, how do you have someone that has these things? So why not make just kind of stand-in versions of them and then throw it against the wall and play with it and show you, tell a different story that they won't let you tell with those characters. So,
okay. So my promise to you next week is our Invincible episode, maybe multiple episodes, but we will definitely get in there.
Yeah, maybe we'll do the first half, second half, or something.
Sounds
like
good
that
to me.
That's your homework. So
okay.
Yeah, unfortunately, I got no other binge. I got no other plus stuff to tell people to watch. I've been sort of busy, and I've been watching the classics, man. I've started watching Sopranos again. My girlfriend just was making fun of me. She's like, I feel like I've watched you watch this once a year since we've been together, and I'm like, it's one of the top five shows.
It's like with me with Sons of Anarchy. Like every 3 years, I'll start watching Sons of Anarchy again.
Well, see, that's where you and I have to admit, it's one thing my dad used to complain about. He goes, how many times can motorcycles drive around and machine gun everybody and nobody knows? Like, who did it? We don't know.
The answer is not enough. And I just got so invested in that show. It was just unreal. I don't know why. I shouldn't have. Everything about it told me you don't want this, and I was pulled right in. It was like Peter Dinklage in Game of Thrones. I watched a few episodes of Game of Thrones, and Dinklage literally made me love it.
Well, I gave up. I gave up the episode where they murdered his wife. I couldn't. That's when I gave up. I was like, you know what? Is it really a Sons of Anarchy show if it's not ending with Jax and Tara tearing each other's clothes off in a dirty public bathroom somewhere? I don't know.
Yeah. After doing,
they have to be mad at each other for half the episode and then have FX appropriate sex on camera. I still think that Charlie, that's a game we should start playing too, that I like doing, is we could do that with Sons of Anarchy, start casting them into comic book stuff, you know, like,
oh, he needs to be a part of the MCU. I don't know where though.
Yeah. That's the thing is I don't think he's that great an actor. So maybe something where we can hide him. Maybe he can be Angel, you know. I don't think they're going to do a lot of Warren the third movies in the future. So yeah. He could just look pretty and have wings and have them abs, you know.
I don't know. We're devolving too much, but this is.
A but good no, game. I think what that's a, think that, about this. That maybe that'll be our new segment. We'll do it for Sons of Anarchy next week. So we'll pick what show we're going to do it for, and then we'll come up with a couple of characters for each. We don't have to do the whole cast list. We just have to come up with a couple of them.
I think we should. I mean, we got Walt Goggins, Kim Coates. I mean,
is Walt Goggins in Sons of Anarchy?
Hell yeah, he plays Venus.
That's right. But he's already in the MCU.
That's true.
And he's an Invincible. So part of your homework. So he's not afraid to get. He's not afraid to do that.
He's not afraid to do anything.
No, he's a great actor. Heck, he's great in Vice Principals. You ever seen that?
Oh my gosh, that show is way too good.
Him and his wife and his mother-in-law. And I honestly, you guys should watch. I haven't even brought up his best role yet. Baby Billy in. Oh God, what is the show?
Oh, with Peter, Timothy Oliphant.
No. With Danny McBride and, oh God, they play the, they're the family of that owns a super church, and he plays the
rhinestones.
The gemstones. Something like that. That show is secretly hilarious, and I cannot wait for season two. And so, well, you know what? Speaking of season two, before we let everybody go, something we have to look forward to. Our man Jason Sudeikis is back. July, Apple Plus has announced that we're getting season two of.
Oh, fantastic!
Our man. I'm terrible with Ted names. Lasso. This episode. Ted Lasso. I only knew the actor's name, not the show. So yeah, Ted Lasso, and you can bet your bottom dollar we'll be talking about that on this for sure.
Too. Damn right.
Believe.
Yes. All right, Sam. On that note, we have devolved, but you know what? We've given everybody what they wanted. We give them a little bit of extra and a lot of devolvement. You know, I think it's pretty good.
Hey, we owed you guys some nuggets, so yes. we got some news out there, and then we didn't even talk about how Emilia Clarke's coming to Secret Invasion. So she's a Skrull too, for sure.
She was a Skrull.
That's what happened in Game of Thrones. She was a Skrull. That's what fucked up the final season.
That's not what messed it up. That's not at all what messed up, and you know that.
Oh, it was Skrulls. That's every plot device that we want to complain about now. It's a Skrull. And so it was a Skrull, and it was Mephisto's Skrull too. So
that makes perfect sense. That makes perfect sense. All right, Sam. We will see you on the flip side, and we'll tell everyone that you'll find us next week. No problem. So we'll see you when we see you.
All right. See you, everybody.